Thank you for joining us for Playing Your Social Media Cards Right, practical, effective, and manageable tips to get noticed online. Please welcome our presenters, Miranda Walachowski and Jose Luis Zelaya. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, well, can everyone hear me well enough? Yes, great. Okay, so we are going to talk about playing our social media cards right to be more effective, to be able to manage them, you know, within all the time constraints and exigencies that we have. So we'll get started. I think you're going to learn a lot of tips that are really going to help you. So the objective for today is to actually help you go away with a social media strategy or plan that is easy to implement. So you'll have some tools and tips, and you'll be able to actually start something this weekend or on Monday. That is the hope. Some of the things that we will cover is how to find your voice among all the noise, because there is much noise out there, how to find your audience. And so this is a neat strategy that you will definitely benefit from and will save you much time. How to manage your time as you're managing social media. And then I'll give you a plethora of tools from various things that will help you carry out your social media endeavors with great ease, sometimes free or at very little cost. And then, you know, we'll just talk about, I want you thinking about how your approach is going to be different on social media. So how are you going to be different than all the noise that's out there? How are you going to be a maverick in your endeavor so that you start doing it right instead of failing at it, you know, from the onset? So we have a couple of gifts that we will be offering, that we will be doing for a couple of planners that I have as part of my other website that I manage, which is called Mirror News. And so there are two planners here, and what you do to, and they're for women, so if a male wins them, you know, please feel free to give it to a daughter, a wife, or a sister. And all you have to do is on go to Twitter, and there's my handle, at Walachowski, and there's our hashtag, which is the one of this conference. Just put a comment in there or ask a question or, you know, anything like that. At the end, we'll see what number and sequence, you know, wins one of the planners. Okay, so does anybody know Brené Brown's work on vulnerability? In espousing that, you know, the work that she does on vulnerability, and you know, we're always told, you know, try to connect with your audience early on. You know, it's a good strategy in public speaking. So I thought, well, what is the one thing I could do to do that? And I had something happen recently that I want to share with you. And this is making me very, very vulnerable. So I think we all have kind of a dichotomy in us, some quirkiness that sometimes doesn't make sense. So I'll spend, you know, much money sometimes on buying courses. Sometimes I don't even get to them. Or buying something on technology. I want one of each. But then with things like toothpaste, you know, I'll do things like I'll cut the back of the toothpaste and stick my toothbrush in before I throw it away.
Right,
yes, okay. I don't want to be wasteful. Yes. So one day, you know, it was, one evening, it was late as well, and my husband said, you know, we're out of toothpaste. If you're going to run to the grocery store, can you get some? And I don't really care about what kind of toothpaste I get. You know, whatever's on sale or if I have a coupon, I just grab and go. And so that's what I did that day at the grocery store. I grabbed some toothpaste and went. And so at night when I brush my teeth, I go to bed before my husband. So I did the thing, you know, took out my toothpaste, threw it away. And I knew he'd open the new one for himself when he went to bed, you know, 2-3 hours later. So I get up really early. I get up at 4:30. So I have five children. My oldest is 17. My youngest is almost 2. So I've been sleep deprived. They say that when you're a mother, that it's almost like functioning in an inebriated state. Well, that's been me for that many years. But I get up at 4:30 so that I could write. It's a nice, quiet, focused time for me. And in the dark, so I don't disturb my husband, I go and I brush my teeth, you know, every morning, kind of same routine, then head off, do my prayer time, and then head off to write. So one morning, you know, after the toothpaste purchase, you know, I was brushing my teeth in the dark, half asleep. And then it didn't taste right. You know, I was wondering, well, what is this? And then I thought, well, maybe, you know, it's one of those toothpaste that have the mixed flavors, like the swirl. Maybe I got some of the white stuff too much or something. So I squeezed a little bit more, and I put it back in. I was like, whoa, this is really bad. I was brushing my teeth with Boudreaux's butt paste. Yes, and if you don't know what that is, it's a diaper rash cream that my husband had used on my two-year-old and left it on the sink. It wasn't supposed to be there, but it was there. I'd like to tell you that I couldn't find the image of it, but I had the natural version, the green, so it was all natural. So hopefully that made it better. Nothing tasted right that entire day. But there's my vulnerability. So then, you know, when you see me, that was the Boudreaux's butt paste lady. So on to why we were here, why we are here. So I want you to think about 1 year down the line, what will have to happen, what will have to take place for you to say, oh, I really grew in my social media goals from this day to 1 year, you know, after. What would have to happen? You know, is there a certain number of followers? Would you be learning one social media mode? Would you be commenting? What would it be? What would the engagement be? So I'd like to do, since I was an elementary teacher by training, think, pair, share, where you will talk to your partner and tell them what will have to happen to know that, yes, I was successful, even at the baby step level. So take a couple of, just actually 1 minute to share with whoever's closest to you, what would have to happen. Okay, howdy. Howdy. From Texas, howdy. Yes, yes. Howdy, stop. Okay, so now I'd like to, in the think, pair, share model, if you have ever taught elementary school or know anything about elementary pedagogy, so now I don't ask you what you said, but I ask you what your partner said. So will somebody raise their hand, let me know what their partner said. Okay.
My partner said that she'd like to receive inbound mail on LinkedIn.
Inbound mail on LinkedIn, okay. Somebody else?
My partner wants to know what is this endorsement about on LinkedIn, so understanding how it works.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? One more. What did your partner say?
My partner said that she would like to have more visibility in the next year with social media and all platforms.
Okay. And all major platforms or branching out? Yes. Okay. All right. I think we can address all of those, thankfully. So I'll turn it over to Jose Luis to explain to you about, there's two planners on the giveaway, and so we're going to have one going on Facebook as well. And this is something that you can do when you're presenting to increase your social media presence. Is have, you know, people tweeting and making comments and things like that, and then just have a giveaway at the end. Or you can ask them, like me on Facebook, or, you know, follow me on Twitter, and then you give out something. So he'll tell you about Facebook.
Well, howdy. Thank you. So at Texas A&M, that's a beautiful thing that we have, is that whenever we say howdy, the crowd says howdy back, and it just shows the friendliness of the room. So let's just check it out this afternoon. Howdy.
Howdy.
Awesome. Now, we have a long row back there, so, you know, it's amazing, right? It's beautiful because whenever we talk about the world of social media, it really is its own thing. It really is its own values, it's its own purpose, and it really is its own world. And we have to understand that from a perspective of the 21st century, that students, teachers, schools, organizations are communicating more through social media networks than personally, than they are doing it face-to-face, and that is something very essential to actually speak about. So if you have Facebook, Facebook has a limit on friends. Facebook actually only allows you to reach 5,000 friends, and then once you reach 5,000 friends, then you're no longer able to add or accept people. In my case, we were able to reach that limit, so we had to create a Facebook like page. And if you go to Facebook and go to Jose Luis Zelaya, which is my name, there is a like page, and that page currently has 4,156 likes, and that just comes to show the relationship that people have whenever they are interested in your content, whenever they are interested in the work that you are doing. Because once again, in order to understand 21st century communication, you have to understand social media. It is essential. It is its own world. And many times people try to connect their personal lives to social media without understanding social media, and only the personal life is showcased through those networks. So my goal is to be able to talk about this world, to talk about some strategies, to talk about some effective steps that you as a professor, as a book author, can take to your phone, to your computer, and just make it happen and have an interaction with different people. So let's talk about how complex social media is, but yet so amazing, because you are interacting with people. And that's something that many times we forget, that just because it's social media or because it's a computer, on the other side of that computer, there's another human being. So that is interaction. That is engagement, because it happened in its own world. So if you go to the Jose Luis Zelaya page, like it, I posted a picture, and the picture was of the conference. If you make a comment, Dr. Walaszewski, as she mentioned, she would be giving out two journals. If you just comment anything, you can write your name, anything, we will choose one, and then one of those will be getting a journal as well. So let's talk about the complexity of social media. Here it is. It's its own world. It is so many purposes. Students, Facebook used to be the very cool thing, you know, 3, 5, 5 years ago. Students right now in high school don't even have Facebook. They're on Snapchat. They are on Instagram. They don't even like Twitter, because it's so complicated. It's so different. So as generations continue to shift, so does social media. And if you can see here, you have many, many, many social media networks that fulfill certain goals. You have social media that would fulfill your professional world, such as LinkedIn. You have social media that would be able to create this kind of news text message style of information called Twitter. You have Instagram, which is a way of just posting picture images that reflect what's happening then, what's happening now, or something that happened in the future, or it's going to, or that happened in the past. So it's just this, once again, think of social media of its own world, of its own rules, of its own purpose, of its own vision, of its own values. For our purpose, we're going to be focusing on Facebook, on Twitter, LinkedIn, as those are some of the most common and also some of the easiest to understand. So social media, what is social media? Social media is a consumer-generated network that whenever someone wants to be able to communicate with you, whenever someone wants to be able to ask you a question, or someone wants to be able to look at it from a business perspective, it is consumer-generated. That's the reason why Facebook is worth so much money. That's the reason why Twitter is worth so much money, because it is consumer-generated. There is a demand. There is a demand on social media. And as professors and as book authors, it is essential, it is imperative to be able to understand, but beyond understand, control and navigate the system in such a way that the person on the other side understand what's happening in your brain, in your mind, but it must be translated into a social media language. What else is social media? It's free. That's the beauty of social media, that you have this interaction with people for free. It is also always available. You can get on Facebook at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. There are no limitations in the United States. Of course, there are many limitations whenever you think about social media internationally due to Wi-Fi and other elements of that nature. But it also creates this connection between you and that other individual. Once again, it can be from organization to organization. It can be from conference to conference. It can be from mind to mind. It can be so complex yet so simple if you understand that social media is its own world, a world of its own with its own psychology. Social media has its own psychology. It has its own rules. It has its own structure. For instance, you do not post a message on Facebook the same way you post it on Twitter. You don't post something on Twitter the same way you post it on Instagram. And the way that you use LinkedIn is different than the way you use all of these other ones. It's its own nature. It's its own psychology. It is also its own values. Every single network has its own values, and we will be able to speak about those. So what is the purpose of social media? So we, for the purpose of this presentation, once again, in the purpose of time, we would cover three main points. The first one is friendship, which means individual relationships between you, your friends, your students. It's a way of keeping in touch. It's a way of developing new relationships. It's a way to be able to communicate with another individual through friendship. But it also allows you to build a professional profile. In my case, Facebook reaches limits, so I had to create another page in order to communicate with people because people are interested in the content and the work that you're doing. It's a consumer generated structure. So if people are demanding you, then you have to be able to provide the needs of that population, in this case social media. Now, the social media also is a way of sharing photos. You can share links, you can share news, you can share blogs, websites, entertainment, you can share your mind, you can share your heart, you can share anything and everything that you want to, but you have to understand its structure. You have to understand the purpose of every single network. But whenever you look at it from a community perspective, whenever you look at it from a perspective of professors, professorship is its own culture. Professorship is its own idea. It's its own world. It's its own nature. Now, how do we translate that vision? How do we translate that idea into one that can be understood in social media through an overall population and audience? Because you're not only going to have professors within your networks, you're also going to have students and regular human beings that may not be connected within your networks. So how do we make sure that the message that you have is translated to them in such a way that is comprehensive and that it's understood? So for the community, if you care about community issues, it's a way to be able to portray causes, your belief. It's a way to advocate. It's a way to create movements. Now movements across the nation are communicating, are strategizing, are thinking about plans and steps for social justice change by using social media. It's its ideas, values, and its own concepts. So let's start by talking about this concept. Okay, so you talk about it's a social media identity, it's its own world, it's its own network. Here is how it happens. So first of all, you have to have a plan. You have to have a social media plan, that would be able to tell you, okay, I'm doing it right or I'm doing it wrong. It creates benchmarks. So for instance, it can be, my plan is that by the end of the year, I want to have a greater engagement with people. I want to have maybe 200 more friends. Maybe I want to have 100 more friends. Maybe I want to have more likes. Maybe I want to have more engagement. Maybe more shares. Maybe something that tells me that I am being effective, practical, and successful within my social media world. Now, there is that idea that it's not about likes. It's not about shares. Once again, it is according to your own purpose. It is according to your own values. It is according to your own idea of why you want to use social media for. Once again, we have that personal and we have the cause. If you're trying to portray a cause, for example, social media, for example, promoting your books, for example, promoting your lectures, you do want to have engagement. You do want to have likes. You do want people to be talking about your content because that determines whether or not you're actually reaching your goals. So it is essential to talk about your goals. What is your social media plan that determines your presence, that determines your influence? And Facebook even has very easy ways of analyzing the analytics. It will tell you, okay, this week you reached this many people. This week, you had this many more likes. This week, this how many people share your content. Once again, social media is its own world, and due to time, we're not able to speak about all of these things, but hopefully this sparks interest to go into and navigate this world. It is also important, as you as a professor, especially if you're thinking about a cause or a movement or promoting a bigger idea other than individuality, to create a committee. To create a committee between maybe 2 to 4 people, because as you brainstorm and as you're thinking about this world, it's important to have other perspectives that would help you understand this world. So think about maybe creating a committee of 2 to 4 people where you brainstorm, okay, what would be our plan? What would be our goals? What would be our mission? What would be our psychology? What would be our interest in making sure that people understand our social media plan? That is the purpose of the committee, to be able to develop a great plan. Now, let's think about, for example, okay, so you have your plan. You understand it's its own world. You understand it's complex. You understand it's difficult, but at the same time, you understand that it can be so smooth if you understand the purpose of each network. Now, let's talk about target and market audience. Let's think about it from a business perspective. Let's think about it from a professional perspective, and even from an individual perspective, because if you don't know who you're speaking to, then how do you know how you're going to speak? And that is essential to know. Are you speaking to other professors? Then maybe your hashtag needs to be according to that professor. Or are you going to be speaking, are you going to be tweeting? For instance, if you want to tweet at the conference and you're going to just say, I'm at this conference, it is important to maybe put that at before and to be able to tweet the conference or be able to tweet somebody. That is imperative whenever you're dealing within these social networks. So let's think about market audience. Understanding the full capacity of social media relies on understanding the audience. If you don't know who you're speaking to, then you don't know what you're saying. And that's just how it works. That is this world of social media. So as you're developing this plan, that is important to brainstorm who your audience is. So if you want to be able to think about, okay, who are the most important people that my message needs to come across, develop a list. Develop a list of market audience. Do you want to speak to universities? And then break that down. Do I want to speak to the University of Texas? Do I want to reach at the University of Texas A&M? Do I want to reach the conference in Vegas? Who am I trying to speak to? Develop that list. Make it as long as you possibly can, because that would help you create content. We will get to that point in a second. So analyze your audience and their specific needs. So if you're speaking to a professor, so example, and Dr. Walashowski would go into provide a detailed example of how to provide content to a specific audience. But think about, for example, the way you speak to a professor is gonna be different than the way that you speak to a student. So understanding the needs of a student versus the students of a professor would develop a different content. And that is important to understand, to develop relevant, strategic, and purposeful content according to the needs of that target audience. And this is where Dr. Walashowski will provide an example of what this means.
Okay, I'm very practical, so if you want to make a to-do list as you go along, can be on your to-do list so that you can check those off. So the type of person I am, I love to-do lists, love to scratch things off. So the first thing we need to do is identify our target audience. You know, who do we want to be followed by? Who do we want to market to? Who do we want to sell our products to? Who do we want to present our ideas to? Put yourself and then put your target individual. What does he or she look like? As much detail as you could put in there, the better. Some people will even individual looks like. So you could put, you know, do a Google search and put an image of what that male or that female of that certain age range might look like. What might they be wearing? So for example, and then look at your commonalities. You target a female audience. With my Mirror News website, mostly I'm talking to females. Maybe we have an age clarity. So again, my Mirror News website where I talk about life planning, there are women that are a little younger than me, about 10 to 15 years younger than me and 10 to 15 years younger than me, so then, you know, kind of in that age range. What's the education level? That's important to know, because that'll set the tone of how you talk to people. They all PhDs, and you don't want to sound condescending in your communication. Are these students? Are these parents where you need to bring the jargon, you know, get rid of the jargon and be very practical in your communication? That in order to be an effective communicator, you need to know that, their level of education. Their level of income is important. So let's just, you know, it may be similar there. And then there may be some differences. You know, maybe I have more children than my target audience. Maybe I'm a vegetarian, but my target audience maybe has fewer children. So when I'm talking about how to manage life with children, it looks a lot different managing one or two than it does with five when I'm giving tips and advice. I need to keep that in mind. Maybe there's males in my target audience and I'm a female, and so that's important to know. What should the tone look like? What should your website look like if you are also reaching out to men, but you know everything is very feminine on there. So you know you need to be very conscious of those things. So maybe they're gluten-free eaters and I'm vegetarian. So as much as you can put in to build that profile, the better. As you meet people, you know, look, you know, when you're talking to them and they say, oh, I love your material, or they buy your products, you know, add characteristics of them to the sheet so that to your Venn diagram, you know who your audience is, and it's growing. The more precise you are on your profile, the better you're going to have efforts, because you're going to be targeting your efforts and just, you know, throwing seeds out in the wind, hoping that they land somewhere and produce something. So one of the other things that you need to do is that I suggest on your to-do list. So one is develop a profile. Number two on the to-do list would be to create a social media list on the three top platforms. And they may not be relevant to you, so if it isn't, don't do that one. But the three top most searched networks are, of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn for us, and then Pinterest. So any of those that will relate to you, you want to create a on there, on the list. Well, these social media platforms have a way for you to create a list so that you could just see material that is posted by either people following or your followers that are relevant to you. So, you know, if I get on Facebook and let's say, for example, I like to follow Michael Hyatt's work. He was a publisher at Thomas Nelson, and then he developed his own platform building business. He also does personal and professional life type advice and coaching, and so he's a perfect model for me to look and see, I wonder what Michael is doing and how he's doing it. He's one person I do want to make sure I see on my feed all the time. But if he posts, you know, at 9 a.m. on Facebook and I don't look at my feed until 3, then I'm not going to see him, and I would have missed something that I could have curated to share with my. So what you do is you create a list. Facebook will, you know, just do a Google search up or an article on how to create a list, and you'll have a list of my competition. And then maybe I click on there, you know, once a day to look at what my competition is doing on Facebook or on Twitter. Maybe, you know, high stakes people or whatever it may be, or people that talk in your topic, you know, that deal with your topic, and you can just but you don't have to look through all the noise. This will just cut out all the clutter and noise and make you very efficient. Okay. So I'll turn it over to you for more best practices.
So once again, we're now going to talk about best practices. So you understand its own world. You understand that you have to create a plan. You understand the psychology of it. You understand that it has its own values. Now let's talk about the practical part of it. So whenever you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to post right now, like if you were going to create a message right now on Facebook, if you were going to create LinkedIn today, as in like you were going to grab your phone and create a LinkedIn profile, if you were going to grab Twitter and send a tweet right now, this is about right now. These are key things to keep in mind, because these things would create relevant content. So the first one, be active. Don't just tweet. And don't just tweet and then 2-3 days later, tweet again. One of the reasons why the page that I have that it's outside of my personal has so many likes is because it is constant. It is live. People know where I'm at. People know where I've been. People know where I'm going, because that is the purpose of why I use social media. My goal of using social media is to be able to let people know my story, is to be able to let people know what is my purpose in this world, and that's what I use my Facebook for. So be active. Yes, ma'am.
What is the estimated time commitment that you have for this?
Perfect. Perfect. Once again, it is easy. It's on your phone, right? It can be on your laptop. It can be on your computer. For Facebook, for instance, one of the things that I do is that I would post maybe twice a day. I would maybe post just content where it's just letters. So in the morning, this morning I posted, I am excited to be presented with Dr. Walashowski at the TAA conference, hashtag 2015 TAA. Then about maybe 2 hours later, I posted a photo. After the presentation, I'm going to say, it was extremely successful. After we finish, I'm going to let the audience know that I'm going to be on my way back to Texas because tomorrow is my sister's baby shower. Then the following day, I'm going to tell, you know what? Now I'm on my way to Eagle Pass to do a two-day training to high school students for a college readiness program. So it is consistent, it is diverse, but it's relevant. So it depends on you, because that's for Facebook. On Twitter, I just tweeted like 4 or 5 times whenever I was right there. So it depends. It depends. For LinkedIn, you may not want to be able to consistently create this maybe once a day, but remember engagement. Remember the purpose. Remember the entire structure is not just posting and then you're gone. Twitter, I tweeted something. It got retweeted maybe like 4 or 5 times within it. I replied back to the people and I said, thank you so much for retweeting. Someone followed me and I said, thank you so much. It is great to be connected. Yes, ma'am.
Specifically, what are you promoting? Are you promoting, like, you want to get a job, or you've written a book and you want people to know about it? Specifically, what are you promoting?
Yes. Remember that plan that we talked about? Remember that understanding the audience and understanding their needs and understanding the different audiences? That is what determines that content. So the content or whatever it is that you're promoting can be very diverse. It can be a book. It can be personal. It can be sharing. It can be friendship. It can be community. It can be so many causes. Yes.
Right. But what I'm saying is when you are doing this, so when you're talking about it, what are you personally promoting?
Yes. And I would actually get to – I would tell you more a little bit about that. But for the sake of answering the question, I promote higher education. I deal with issues of immigration advocacy. I deal with issues of English as a second language. I deal with issues in Central America. I deal with many issues that are relevant to me, things that I know about, and things that I can speak from experience. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So with due respect, you answered the what, but it didn't answer my question. What is the estimated time commitment? Is it – it depends?
Dr. Walashowski will speak more on that. Yeah, that's her slide. Yes. Yes.
Please hold on.
Do you ever feel there's a backlash? Because I know some people who post constantly, and other people say, oh, my God, that person's so in love with himself.
I am in love with myself. Yeah. Right, right.
So I'm wondering if you run across that, or, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes somebody will say, and right now I am eating. And sometimes somebody will say, I'm on my way to the restroom. And you'll be surprised some of the things that people would post online. So, yeah, so it could be annoying. But then again, does that person on the other side who's writing understand that there must be a plan, that they must understand the audience, that they must understand the tools, that they must understand the strategy? And I would say, I'm assuming that that individual may not understand why they're even using their social media other than for individual purposes. So be active. Make sure that you are engaged with that community. So on Twitter, if someone tweets you back, don't wait 2 days to reply. Make sure that it's constant. It is living. It is live. It is then and it is there. That's why it's important to create that committee, because if you're a book author, you may not have time to answer everybody. Here's the secret. But whenever you reply and it has your handle, that individual on the other side doesn't know that it was not you who replied. You can have somebody, people representing you, maybe a social media strategist, maybe somebody that works for that social media, maybe a social media company that does your work. It all depends on the level of influence that you are trying to do. This is its own world, and it has its own rules. So be active. The other thing that it's also important to think about is to be timely. Every time tweet and Facebook should be current and relevant. So I tweeted a picture of Dr. Walashowski and I said, happening now. So people will know that it's right now. It wasn't yesterday. It was today. I would say later on I will put update. So key things that will make sure that people know that it is happening today and not, and that I'm not just throwing it back Thursday, right? That it's just actually today. The other thing that is also essential to think about is this idea of, once again, engagement, right? So you are timely, you are active, and now people are wanting to speak with you. People want to be able to know. So earlier I saw that Tracy, for instance, commented on the page and said, thank you for this. So later on, right, so I'm going to comment back and say, you know, it is a pleasure. So make sure that it's an engagement. It's a conversation. Because if I were to come over here and say, hello, she said hello back. She didn't wait 30 minutes to say hello back. Once again, in order to understand social media, we have to understand that it's its own world, and she replied right back. So it's its own world, it's its own way of communicating. Same thing for social media. So more best practices, be accurate. One of the things that we see a lot of the times that people actually are irritated about social media, it's misspelling. It is inaccuracy, maybe on updates. Maybe it's just saying this happened, but then it didn't happen. So make sure that you actually are accurate with the content that you are saying. Another thing is be a journalist. Be a journalist. And this is where I will share a little bit very briefly about the work that I do. So the story and the narrative that I created is my personal story. I talk about the life of a kid, of a young man who grew up in one of the most dangerous cities in the world, who lived in the streets, who came to the United States, and is all of a sudden a doctoral student at Texas A&M University. So people are interested in this story. So as I travel the nation, I share a story of success. I share a story of engagement. I share a story of empowerment. I share a story of higher education. And people like that, and people, in other words, are engaged with that story because I am a storyteller. It is a storytelling strategy in order to communicate through social media. Know your audience and your social platforms and what specific rules for each network. Develop a content marketing plan, as we talked about. If you know your audience and you know their needs, then you can start talking about maybe creating some, maybe like a diagram or maybe like a mind map of these ideas. Okay, so if I'm speaking to professors, these are the things that they're interested about. If I'm speaking to students, these are the things that they are interested about. And then underneath, you can start creating content. And Dr. Walashowski will tell you about tools that will make your job easier, where you don't actually have to come up with the content, but the content, it's already there. So in my case, if I'm interested in immigration, there's a whole bunch of articles that already talk about immigration that I can already just send links or talk about them, and Dr. Walashowski will tell you about those tools. So developing a content marketing plan, it is imperative. And the other thing, visuals, people love visuals. Be inspired by the idea of storytelling. Tell your story. If you're selling a book or you author a book, that is a story. So create a story and share it in such a way that is important and relevant to your audience.
Okay, I'll address some of the questions that came up. In terms of, don't shut down, because you may get to the point where you will need this help and it'll be affordable and beneficial for you to do. But there are many visual assistants that you can hire, some of them for as little as 20 hours a month for $200. And you would work with that visual assistant. Some of them are, you know, highly sought after, very competent, and you could develop your social media strategy with them, and they could be posting your things. So these visual assistants with a reputable company are excellent. Michael Hyatt, who is, uses them, and he, if you go to his website, he will have articles and suggestions of how to work with a visual assistant, and he trusts them with even bank account numbers, things like that. So if you find a very reputable one, you know, some of them manage your finances and things like that. So to me, that's actually something I'm considering for $200 a month, you know, for 20 hours of social media help, I think would be very beneficial. Or a college student, a high school student, you know, a very mature one that plans to go in this field and marketing and things like that, you know, you could start off with them and pay them, you know, $10 an hour or something once a week even would be, I think, very beneficial. So those are actually strategies that I'm going to implement as well. And I lost my clicker. Did I not have my clicker? Oh, it's up here somewhere. Okay. Other thing, time. We do talk a lot about time. I have 5 children. I work as a clinical. Just got promoted to associate professor at A&M. I have my Mirror News website. I'm active in my church. So time, I can understand the exigencies of time. With the social media, one of the things that I do, and I forgot to bring that sheet, but I go and I buy one of those desk calendars, and you can put this on your to-do list. So those big desk calendars, you know, that you could tear out the pages. So I lay out my social media on there. So you have your holidays and what I post and what's happening. Pencil usually, so I can erase things and move things around. But that's kind of my master planning, because you have to plan backwards. Like, for example, the day before yesterday or the day, or I think it was Wednesday, I don't remember when, with all the traveling, it was National Vegetable Day, you know. And so if I had planned earlier, I might have written a blog post or done a little bit more, but all I could do is just send it out, you know, it's National Vegetable Day, eat your veggies, it's lunchtime. And then another one was like, oh, do you know what the healthiest vegetable, most nutritious vegetable is? So then I got those things out. And see, so that was something that people might be curious about, and it just keeps me fresh in their mind, you know. And so that's one way to work on that. So I like the calendar strategy. Yes. The Twitter is me, because that's usually you want to be branded as yourself on Twitter. The other things are the actual company pages. So I do this for our program, our bilingual program, undergraduate program. So it has its own Facebook page, you know, and its own accounts and social media, its own Instagram page. My Mirror News has the same thing, its own. The only place where I'm the physical presence is, I think, it's Twitter with my name. And so then, oh, yes, to everybody. Everybody, yes, everybody. Because that relates to my students. You know, I told them, go eat your veggies, it's lunchtime, and it relates to the moms that I have in my community, because they want to know what a good vegetable is for their children. So I'm double tapping into two places. So you print the same, you put the same thing twice, but add a twist to it. You don't want to put the exact same quote or anything. So one, I told them, eat your veggies, because I'm their professor, so it's kind of cute. The other moms, I told them, do you know what the best vegetable is? You know, so that they could feed their children that, you know. So it's the same content. That's how I save time. That's the other thing that brings me to another point. Oh, go ahead.
In line with that, how do you separate if you want to put family vacation pictures to share with your cousins that are in out of the country? So I find in my profession that some people don't separate it well, and it has backlash. And so that's why social media sometimes can get a bad stigma.
Right. Definitely. My personal stuff is separate. It's a separate account. Yes. On Facebook, for example, I have my own name with family and friends and my cousins, but my professional business one is separate because of that.
And that piece is not, people aren't educated well to that fact, because that's, I had a Facebook and I shut it down completely because I wasn't educated on how I could separate it out.
No.
And so there's a huge market to help us as professionals separate that out.
Definitely. You definitely want to separate, because you hey, you know, your audience to know that you were out having a beer. So definitely separate. And then it's on you, what do you want to bring in? Do I want to show them my family vacation? Yes, maybe to connect at a personal level, but it's my choice. I have control over what they see. Although you don't have ultimately a lot of control because everything that's on the web is on the web, but you know what I mean. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had the same issue you did, and I had Facebook for about 2 days, and it was crazy to me. Some Facebook, without me doing it, I couldn't use it. It connected every phone number I've ever called on my cell phone and kept popping up, do you know so-and-so? I'm in social work, and I see clients, and I have students, and I can't figure out the separation thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot figure it
separate
out.
Account. Separate account.
No, I know separate account, but somebody can still Google and get on and read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just what you said, you have control, but you really
right.
don't have control.
Right, that's the world
so
we live
I
in.
Don't get how to do that. I don't get how to do it and maintain any. So my solution is, I'm sorry, but so far I don't do any of this.
Right, right.
Because I can't figure it out.
Right.
So how do you do that? How can you successfully do it?
I would just suggest learning about them, the different platforms, and I'm going to talk about where you could do that. So I'm not going to forget
your question.
I'll get
to
it.
Yes. I've got the answer to that. There are two secure sites for family-related stuff. One is called efamily.com, and another social network that does everything a social network should do to protect your privacy is mewe.com. It used to be scruples.com, but there weren't enough young people who knew what a scruple was. But this is a real issue. There's your privacy. I talk a lot about it on my podcast, The Social Network Show.
Oh, great.
And you do have to be very cautious. And you're right, separate accounts is not enough.
Right.
But MeWe.com and eFamily, if you want a separate social network for you, for your friends and family, that's the way to go.
Right. Okay. And then I don't want to forget your question, how much, because we don't want to seem that we are, you know, narcissistic. You have to keep in mind that you are there to serve. You are there to serve, and the balance is serve, but let them know I'm a real person. And that's where the balance is. Serve, 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 serve. Let me tell you I'm real. I make mistakes. I have flaws. You can feel comfortable with me. You can feel comfortable reading my tips and laugh at them. Serve, 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 serve. Share other people's content. Share, 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 share. Oh, let me tell you about this thing. You know, when I brush my teeth with Boudreaux's butt paste or something. You know, whatever it may be. But that's the balance. You are there to serve. And if you stray away from that, you will lose people quickly. So for the, because of time, I'm just going to go, just give you a blanket on this slide. Basically, what I suggest is that you find a example of what you want to be like on social media when you grow up and find a bad example of what you don't want to be like. And you can actually Google search those terms, and they'll find, you know, the top 10 best whatever on social media, the top 10 the worst. So you don't even have to, you know, brainstorm. So that could be your other to-do item. To do is to find and just go through them and ask yourself questions. What are they doing? How do they do it? What do I not like? Frequency. You know, just any questions that you could ask to help yourself. What tone do they have? That's a very harsh tone, or that's a very condescending, silly tone. So just do that, because that's going to help you identify your own voice. Who am I? What am I comfortable with? What do I bring to the table that's different? So that's your other to-do list, one good and one good. So before, a lot of the social media communication was business to business, so you'll hear it as B2B. Then it's moved to business to human, so business to human. Guess what? People don't want to talk to a brand. They don't want to talk to Coca-Cola. They don't want to talk to whatever, T-Mobile. They want to talk to a human because they want to connect. That element of connection is still there. And so now what we have is human to human. And the people that are mastering the human-to-human well are the ones that are doing very well on social media and the ones that are going to be perdurable. That means that they are going to be here tomorrow and the next day and the next day. The other two are starting to fade away quickly. So that's where the voice comes in. You want to be human about it. Respond in a personal way. You said if somebody starts following you, thank them for that. And then follow them. Share other people's content. You know, let them know that you share their content. Hey, I really like that article that you posted. I made an infographic of it, and I shared it with my audience. Let them know, human to human, connect, one-on-one. I know it's counterintuitive. Social media is big, wide reach. No, no. The secret is human to human. That's just what I've been learning. So I'm actually changing my strategy to that. How can I be human to human? If I knew my followers' birthdays, there, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to get that also, because I would send them a little e-card or something, a pin or something in the mail. So the more human-to-human connection you have, the better you're going to be in your efforts now, and you're going to be perdurable in the future. You won't get lost in the noise that everybody has. So that's my tip to you, one of them. Okay, here, time-saving. Another one, if you're going to hire a high school student, college student, or a virtual assistant, then I recommend that you go to this link, and I'm going to end up giving you this in an email. I'll send you the link to the presentation and all of that so you have it. But here you'll find in this particular article lots of templates, how to curate content, how to schedule content, you know, all of that that you need. There's 50. You're going to find something that you love.
So on your to-do list, get some social media templates, whether it's a calendar, an Excel sheet. I have a fabulous Excel sheet that someone developed, and it's several years on the tab, and she has everything in there, like when soccer is, when the World Cup was, when Vegetable Day is. I mean, just everything in there for you so you can plan out your content. And I'm going to email her and ask her if I could share that with you. So when you sign up, pass this around. That's one of the things I will send you. She has it all color-coded so you know what the holidays, so you can plan. But I still use my big piece of paper. So I use her Excel sheet where she has all the dates of what's coming up. And then I use my paper to decide, well, what can I do here? Maybe I could send out a quote. Maybe I can get an article from someone, whatever it may be. So definitely find some templates would be your other to-do list item. And I'm going to give you some tools quickly that are going to make your life so much better. I love Canva. Is anyone familiar with Canva? Okay, a couple of people. Lifesaver. A lifesaver. It is inexpensive. You can make an image for any social media platform for as little as a dollar sometimes. So most of them, I think, are about a dollar. So, like, if you want to create a meme or or however you say it, you could do that. So here's one that I made. They had this picture of here of the wine and the bread, and I put my quote in. They had this one, and I put my quote in. And it even asks you, like, is this for Twitter? Is this for Facebook? So all the sizing, it takes care of that. It's all drag and drop. You just drag and drop, and you make your own thing, which is fabulous. And then you save, and then you pay a dollar, and that's it. So you don't spend money on a monthly subscription anywhere. Beautiful colors. They have a design university. So you go on there and they'll teach you. Don't put these two colors together. Don't do this with your text. And they teach you how to use their software. Plus, they teach you all the design stuff. So you will look like a graphic designer by using this. And actually, I'm starting to learn Adobe, but I actually revert to this because it's so time efficient. Minutes compared to me trying to do it on Adobe, which could take sometimes. So on get familiar with Canva for a dollar, you can't beat it. What would I do with those? Okay, I might, you know, and just a quote, a pretty quote. Anybody can do that. But then I could also link that to an article. Maybe the vegetables. Maybe I would have found a quote on vegetables or a percentage. How much, I think it's 90% of Americans don't eat enough vegetables. So I could have tweeted that statistic on a little picture like that with some vegetables. And then it could have linked to an article that I wrote. So once they click the link. So you could do many things with it. And then here's an example of what Michael Hyatt does. You know, so you... So writing sacrifice, and most of all, love of what you are doing by Pelé. So very simple. Anybody could do that on Canva. Take you, 3 minutes to do that. A dollar, and so that's one way. And if you wanted to, you could link it to an article that you wrote as well. Here's another one that I love. If you're in education, as many of us are, this was free. Or very near free. Pictograph. So all of you have seen infographics, right? Those infographics that bring a lot of text into a very beautiful visual way. Do you know what I'm talking about? So this is an example of an infographic I made on PictoChart. So I don't remember if I got it from a photo place, because I have several photo services, but it gave her a transparent background. And then on PictoChart, I was able to add text. This is about how cold showers bring you healthier living, beauty, living. I just put here like what the different things that a cold water does for different parts, like helps the sore muscles in your legs, helps circulation, makes your hair fluffy, as flat or fluffier. So I put that all out there and then have my and I post that out. So I can have that. Maybe I can create another little quote on Canva and put that out. And then I can have an article that I add to my blog post. So as you can see, I've used the same material in three different ways. And then I can just Twitter it out. So I'm saving time by not creating content all the time, using that same content out in different ways to save time. So this definitely saves time. Another tool, if you do want to spend a little bit money, I think $30 a month, you can start for free to use it for books, I think. Or yes, you could use it for free, but it has fewer features, is Hootsuite. And basically, it's a scheduler. So you sit at your computer and you say, this article to come out with these words on Sunday the 25th at 3 a.m., whatever, 6 a.m. I want this to go out, on Monday at 1 p.m. on Twitter. I want this to go out on Facebook. So you just schedule it all in there. Yes?
So
to reiterate what you just said, I can do all the front loading and then connect with them, and then they do it for me, and I don't have to think about it
anymore? On Hootsuite? Yeah. Yes. You schedule it yourself, and it goes out automatically. So it'll and it'll even ask you, do you want me to send this on the optimal time in Facebook, or do you want to pick a time? So it even does. And then, and then it gives you a feed, so you can see if people clicked on it or made comments on it. So you just go to that screen, you know, oh, I need to respond to this person because this person said they love the infographic. You manage time there very well as well. Hootsuite, this is really neat, if you can see it. But there's a little app up here on my Facebook page and a little here as well. So while I'm looking at Hootsuite, and I like Michael Hyatt's article, and I want to share it with my audience maybe a month from now because he just shared it with his. Then I just click on my here, and it goes and it schedules it, tell it, send it out to the Mirror News audience, you know, in July, July 1st at 3 o'clock. And it does it, you know, so then you don't have to send articles everywhere. So for $30, it's really. The other thing I'm not going to have time to talk to about, but just start exploring, is an untapped area, well, sort of untapped. But that's where we could put our PowerPoints and our lectures and slides of the things that we do. It accepts video. It accepts any form of media. And this is what people are doing. When people get on Facebook, competing against the cute little cat, little newborn baby, my old, you know, somebody's old boyfriend's, you know, new wife or whatever they may be reading about. And so you can't. It's a lot of noise. It's really hard for you to take place. But through share, people are coming here to look at exactly what you're producing. They want to know this academic field, this academic content, this topic. They're here. They're coming at 60 million visits per month, and it's LinkedIn. They acquired it in 2012. So another good place, but I don't have time to explore it too much. Yes.
Copywriting, as far as like protecting your intellectual property, how many of these, because these are fabulous tools, but once again, we're sharing other people's images and things like that. I think that's something that should be considered as well.
Okay, sharing other people's, no.
Copywriting and like, you know, right. Photos and things like that.
Oh, okay. Well, these, like Canva, they hire designers to make those. So when you pay a dollar, you can use that in any way that you want. As far as the images I use, like that lady that was standing, I got her probably on graphic stock. There's also dollar photo, death of iStock. So you could buy them for like a dollar or a monthly service, you know, $20, $30. And then it'll say royalty free, and they'll say what you could use it for. And there's some free ones too, but they're not that good. So just Google free, royalty free pictures. You'll get, and I used to use free ones until I felt like I needed something a little better quality. But yes, I wouldn't steal from Google Images. Yes, yes. Right. And your own stuff, you can't. It's hard. It's hard to do that. It's a different world. Another thing, is anybody interested in getting a blog that doesn't have one, a website? Okay. I recommend WordPress and Bluehost for Education. I just learned this past year. They give educators free websites, beautiful websites, so they don't look like, you know, something that's rudimentary. Beautiful websites and free hosting and free training. And you can use it for whatever you want. You can sell your books and make money. You can put advertisement on there. You can do whatever you want, and it will be free, and they will support you. Beautiful support. And I love WordPress. Easy to use. So I highly recommend that if you're looking at getting a website or something, use it. Animoto, something else that I think is free to educators. Yes, it is free. Actually to my students too. So I'm able to get it free as an educator for 6 months, and then you just renew. They give it free to you each time, and they give it free to your students. And you can make 20-minute videos, beautiful videos, high-quality videos that you could then post to your website or post on social media as well. Very easy to make. And I said, I'm 99% sure it's free for educators or very cheap. And then many places offer just educator discounts. Just look and see Pictograph, you know, educator discounts. Adobe. If anybody wants to start learning or doing a little bit more fancy stuff, $19 a month, I believe it is, for educators or students. So if you want Photoshop, if you want to learn Photoshop, you know, Adobe is the place to go. Where do you learn? Creative Live is one of my favorite places to learn. They offer live training. The only problem is it's like ongoing, and you might not be able to sit there, you know, the whole 8-hour session. But they'll do training social media, on developing your platform, on Adobe, on Photoshop, how to use Photoshop, anything you can imagine. You could also pay for classes. They're a little pricey, $70 to $100 range or so, or you can watch them for free when they're streaming for free. So amazing place to learn. Lynda.com, another place to learn if you want to learn more about Facebook, how do you do it, how do you use it, more about Twitter, how do you do it, where do you start, profiles. The Lynda.com courses, great if you buy a subscription for that, or you might have it at your university. You know, learn it because it'll teach you. Sit down, and that's your other to-do list. What social media platform am I going to learn about first? So choose. Is it going to be Twitter or Facebook? And then dive into these courses like on Lynda or free things online and start reading. Now for the bad news. Okay, so we're talking about social media and all of that. Those are platforms, and you are operating in rental space. When you are on Facebook, when you're on Twitter, Pinterest, it's rented space. And as you see, Facebook, you can have 100,000 people that like your page. Do you think 100,000 are going to see your posts? No, probably like 10%, you know, if that. And so you're thinking, well, why is that worth it then? But that's the way it's going. So now Facebook wants you to pay for ads, which are effective. You can target ads. I want to send this to a female who's Caucasian, who's 30, who has 3 children, who works in education. I want her to see my new workshop or my new online class. You know, so then target your audience, which is great, but it comes at a cost. So Facebook picked up on this module, give you free, engage you, hook you, and then start charging because I'm not going to show your stuff to everybody. And it's anticipated that Twitter and Pinterest will also be moving to that. They're privately held companies. They have to make money for their stockholders. They're moving in that direction. So what we need to do is leverage that before it gets to that point. How do you leverage that? The only place that you can guarantee have your audience on your territory, not in rental spaces that can the landlord can kick you out at any moment, is on email. So everything, a lot of the strategies that you do on social media, you want them to connect with you and give you their information, subscribe to your newsletter or your updates, because that's the only place you will always have your audience. Your audience can be taken away anywhere else. I've heard of Twitter pages being closed down or Facebook pages being closed down. And then what do you do? But once you have their email, your audience, and you can always connect no matter what happens.